Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, on the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Memphis, what's going on? It's Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. If you don't know me, I'm the Memphis Grizzlies beat writer over at the Daily Memphian. Jeff is in Michigan this week. He is on vacation, but he is going to join us at 9:25. He's very nice to give his time to do that. And Jeffrey got married over the weekend. So big congrats to Jeffrey. So we've got Brad Carson in studio with us today. Like I said, we'll talk to Jeff at 9:25. We got a lot to talk about because on Mondays, that's typically the way it goes. We got the Grizzlies schedule, which we'll start the show with that. At 10 o'clock, we've got Chris Harrington. As always, Chris is great. Chris and I have a podcast together. We talk to each other all the time now that we're Grizzlies partners, so it'll be good to have him on. And then at 10:25, we've got some NFL news. We've got some state flag news. Yeah. We've got a whole bunch going on, like I said. And so those will all be really interesting to listen to. And then we'll do the one story you've been waiting for, and we'll get out of here. But I want to start with the schedule, Brad, because I felt kind of ripped off on Friday filling in for Gary Parrish.
Yeah.
Because we woke up that morning. Yeah. We're like, okay, you know,
let's go.
Licking our chops. We got the NBA schedule coming out today. Yeah. It's going to make the show so easy. We'll just get the schedule, you know, on the jump in the afternoon. That's what when we all assumed it would happen.
Sure.
We'll get it on the jump in the afternoon, and then we'll be able to just off the dome, just give our immediate reaction to that. And sure enough, it comes in at 6 o'clock. I was sitting here in your seat watching that little TV screen, writing up the Grizzlies schedule as quick as I possibly could as soon as the show was over. So I got totally screwed, which means it's only right that I get to be the first one in here to talk about the schedule this morning.
Excellent. I'm glad that at least you get to make up the difference a little bit here.
Right. So anyway,
and it's eight games. We get to analyze.
Yeah, it's basketball. Yeah, we're all excited to have basketball.
It's good. I'm happy it's here.
So it is as follows. Okay. I'll just go ahead and read them from the top because I'm sure everybody's seen it, but we can go one by one down here if we want to. Friday, July 31st, which is the second day of the return.
Okay.
It is the Grizzlies and the Portland Trail Blazers at 3 o'clock. On NBA TV, this is obviously a massive, massive game for the Grizzlies.
Right off
playoff
the jump.
Chances right off the top. And you know what? I was saying on the radio last week, just please give us Grizzlies and Trailblazers as the first game.
Yep.
Well, they didn't. They gave it to, Precious Zion, of course. That's the way that it works around here. But we still get a nationally televised or close to it game against Portland, and it's gonna be that's gonna be really, really important. And both of these teams, I think you could make an argument will be the hungriest teams when they get down there to Orlando. I say that because of the comments that we've seen from Dame Lillard since all of this return talk even started. He's like, I'm not playing if I can't play in the playoffs. And I know he rubs the Grizzlies fans the wrong way a lot of the time. But at least, if you were a Portland fan, you'd be happy that his head is in the right place because he, you know, why would he want to play if he doesn't have a chance to make the playoffs? So,
yeah.
That's going to be a very, very important game, and it'll be interesting to see if that has an impact on the games and right behind that. Because I think if you're the Grizzlies and you get a win against Portland, and now you're only two wins away from at least locking down a spot in the play-in. If you go 3-5, it guarantees you're going to be at least the 9 and be in a play-in. So,
and if they are the 9, they still have to play two games, right? It's not.
They would have to win two games in a row against whoever's the 8th in order to make it in. But, like, I think what you want to start with, obviously, you want to go 5-3 and lock in the 8th spot, right? Mm-hmm. Of course. But I think a good start would be let's get to 3 wins.
Right.
Because if we can get to 3 wins, then we're really going to have a good chance at least being the 8, because it would mean somebody has to basically, run the table here in order to take your 8th spot. So get to 3 wins first, and I think 3 wins is going to be enough to lock in that eighth spot.
I do too. And then you're going through the schedule, so this will also be part of the end of the schedule helps us a little bit, I think, but we can talk about that as we go through it here.
Yeah, so but I think if you get a win over Portland to start, you're in a great spot.
Wow, yeah.
Because coming up after that, San Antonio, New Orleans, Utah, Oklahoma City, that's August 2nd, August 3rd, August 5th, and August 7th, all of these games are relatively early. The latest games are at 5:30. So it's going to be, for me, it's really nice to have the day games because I can have my nights instead
basketball
of
basketball nirvana.
Up really late.
Yeah. I mean, it will be interesting starting off for the Grizzlies on that Friday because that'll be a 3:30 or 3 o'clock tip, right? So 3 o'clock Central, we'll have a pregame at 2:30 here. So, my bosses and I have been talking about the scheduling difference on that Friday. That'll obviously affect our programming because usually Gary's on live. But I presume people are going to be in their dentist chair tuned in to a Portland Trail Blazers Grizzlies game 100%. If they're not watching a television, on a Friday afternoon like that. And basically, it's going to be a Friday holiday on the 31st in Memphis.
Right.
I'm excited about it.
So back to the schedule here.
Yeah.
If you get that win over Portland, you're looking at San Antonio, Utah, and Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. You feel like you've got at least one other win in there.
Yeah.
And New Orleans. You can include them. But I think New Orleans is a little bit tougher. I'd actually rather play any of those, like Utah without Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City is tough, but it's a winnable game. San Antonio is certainly a winnable game. That's almost a must win when you look at the schedule given the wins are.
In looking at that part that you just mentioned, Portland, San Antonio, the Grizzlies game, Monday, the third game for them, we're on a back-to-back too. Right.
Right.
So that's not ideal playing them after you play San Antonio, presumably, no rest in between.
Yeah. So the Pelicans game is going to be tough. But if you can get that win over Portland,
that's big.
Go into Sunday against San Antonio. If you get a win there, then you're looking at 6 tries to get one win to lock yourself into the play-in. I mean, that to me is really that's the spot you want to be.
That's it.
If you can be
that first game's huge. I think that first game's huge.
Oh, it's massive.
Like you want to get that one done.
And if you were to think about it in terms of if you were to lose the first two, first two, then you're going into a back-to-back against New Orleans, and then you're looking at, Utah and Oklahoma City
OKC,
almost become games that you need to win. But when the schedule came out, my immediate first question had everything to do with those last 3 games.
Right.
Sunday, August 9th. Tuesday, August 11th, Thursday, August 13th. August 9th against Toronto, August 11th versus Boston, and August 13th versus Milwaukee. And the reason being is because we have no idea what those teams are going to look like.
Nothing. No.
When we get to that game.
No.
Because if the Grizzlies need those wins, and those teams are still playing for something. And you know what? What's funny is I actually was having a argument with John Martin over the weekend about these three games, because John was like, well, what if those teams are trying to get back into shape? So they're going to play everybody every game, and there's been this long layoff. And so he seems to think
they're all going full bore no matter what.
Right. And my opinion, and I don't want to speak for him. I'm sure he's going to talk about this on his show.
Sure.
My opinion was that if I'm in the Milwaukee Bucks front office or the Boston Celtics front office, and there's a suspended season because of a pandemic, and you're playing in Disney World, and you're playing in front of no fans, and you're playing in a meaningless game for seeding, why on earth would you ever put Giannis or Jason Tatum on the floor for either of those games?
I'd take it a step further. I would put Giannis, unless he has to be on the bench. I don't even know what the rules are in terms of, you know, because the league rules when they're in a regular season, pre-pandemic now, granted, is you have to be on the bench if you're able to, right? Like, you have to give a reason, or you can leave him in OKC if you're flying to Memphis, but generally speaking, the rule is dude has to be on the bench if he can make it. I would assume they have to be on the bench with a mask, but if they don't have to be on the bench, I would put them in the hotel room because you don't want the contact at all. Zero. Right. Zero contact.
Yeah. You know? So, I just cannot imagine a scenario.
I don't think so.
Where they're going to be playing those guys if they're not playing for seeding. So, first thing I did, went to the Eastern Conference standings to see exactly where everybody stands here, and the Bucks have a 6.5-game lead up on the Toronto Raptors. So, That's
done.
Almost locked in already. And to imagine that Giannis is going to play in the last game of the schedule before the playoffs when they could rest him, I don't know. I just don't see that happening. So I think the Grizzlies might get a break there. I really do. I think there's a good opportunity for them to play against a Bucks team without their best player. Then you go down to the Raptors. The Raptors, who are 6.5 games behind the Bucks, are 3 games ahead of the Boston Celtics. That's a little bit closer, but it's almost the same scenario as the Grizzlies and with the teams chasing them. And like we said, if they get to 5 wins, then this thing is over.
Done.
Like it's wrapped up.
Yeah.
So if the Raptors, you know, come in and rattle off some wins, then it's going to be over relatively soon. By the back half of that schedule, it won't matter. I think there's a better chance by the back half of the schedule that it doesn't matter than it does, and we're, you know, hanging on pins and needles watching Ja Morant play against, you know, Jason Tatum and the Celtics. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, to me, this whole thing has been designed. This is very selfish of me to say because I live in Memphis and I follow the Grizzlies. This thing is all geared around Zion and the 8th seed in the West.
Oh, 100%.
The whole scheme is about two things. One, the TV deal to finish out the contract because you have to get to, 66 games? So you have to get to the 66 number. Then two, you've got Zion sitting there and all these teams eyeing up that 8th seed in the West, and you've got a rookie-laden Grizzlies team there. This is all about the 8th seed in the West.
I think it also, if it wasn't already obvious.
Which is crazy.
Look at the one game that's on that's on ESPN for the Grizzlies.
Right.
They got, obviously, the Celtics game is on TNT, so that's a big network game, too.
Yeah.
A little bit bigger deal than NBA TV, though, I would say.
Sure.
The one game is the Pelicans.
The Pelicans game.
That's on ESPN.
Yeah.
And
they clear their double-double, their back-to-back right at the front end. So Utah, it's Pelicans, Utah, Pelicans, Clippers. Then they get their break on that Sunday. And then they're back Monday against the Grizzlies. So they get the break before the Grizzlies game. I mean, this sucks. If you're a Pelicans fan, man, God bless you, because it's set up for you if you were to try to make a run at this thing.
Well, here's the truth, and I saw some mixed reactions from Grizzlies fans when the schedule came out. I saw some people go, oh, that schedule is brutal.
Right.
And then I saw some people that was like, oh, you should be pretty happy with that schedule. I am...
Where you at
of the latter opinion.
You are,
I think you should be pretty happy. I still think that the Grizzlies have a really good chance. And let's just keep real here. The Pelicans had a really, really easy schedule down the stretch.
Yeah.
And they weren't playing as well as everybody thinks that they were playing. It feels like to me everybody remembers that they were just dominating, you know, as soon as Zion came back.
Right.
And that wasn't true. That's just not true. They were close to .500 during that stretch.
Yep.
So
he was playing well. The team was not playing great.
Right. Let's not pretend that they are some sort of juggernaut here. But they did have the easiest schedule. We all expected them to win a lot of games down the stretch
Sure.
because they were playing against bad teams, and specifically, they were going to be playing against bad teams who didn't care about the season anymore, and we're going to have G League teams out on the floor when they played them. Yeah. And so they were going to win a lot of games. And to be fair, it does make a lot of sense that the Pelicans would have the easiest schedule. What bothers me about it, though, is that it's like it's all geared around having all the attention on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they're playing on – they get the first big game. You know, they're playing on ESPN and, like, all of these games pretty much, it feels like. I mean, it's just – to me, if I'm a Grizzlies fan, that's what I'm annoyed with.
Yeah.
I'm not even annoyed with the schedule that the Grizzlies got because, again, I think – more likely than not, you're going to be playing against a Bucks team without Giannis in the last game. I hope I'm right about that, but
I
if I'm putting myself in their shoes, I just cannot imagine playing him in those games. I think you're going to be playing against Toronto and Boston on the back end, which, I mean, those games could matter depending on what happens, but I think it's more likely that they don't matter. And then you've got a very winnable game against San Antonio without LaMarcus Aldridge, a very winnable game against Utah without Bogdanovich. Like you have plenty of chances in this schedule to get it done. And if you were truly deserving of the eighth seed, they'll do it.
Do you think this is an easier route to the eighth seed that the Grizzlies would have had if they would have done the regular season?
Yes.
You do.
Because there's only eight games left.
Right.
I mean, the difference, what makes it hard is that there's now this play-in scenario, right?
Yeah. So, the 8-9 seed, yeah.
The question is, if you are the 8, can you beat Portland or New Orleans in two tries? And what I've, you know, said on Gary's show last week is that if you can't, and I said on my podcast with Chris, if you can't beat one of those teams once out of two tries, I don't know if you're deserving.
You shouldn't be in the playoffs. I think that's true. The other factor that I want to ask you about real quick on the Grizzlies, because it's obviously popular this morning. I'm looking at some of the things. Everybody's reading about this and excited about the Grizzlies' return. The idea that the Grizzlies have sort of had this quasi-training camp with the players, and you got to see the private gym set up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With Morant, his extra run. Early on, I was concerned because on the Zoom calls, like it seemed like a lot of the team, and this is when we were really locked down, some of the team didn't even have rims. I'm assuming a lot of that has changed since they had a chance to get into FedEx Forum. I mean, what's the training setup right now?
To be honest, the Grizzlies, the access is limited. So they're not sharing their details. But, I mean, they're going to run with who they've got.
Yeah.
Like
Winslow will be back.
Winslow will likely be back. I think you're going to right now what you're trying to do is just get reacclimated to each other.
Sure.
And Winslow will be fascinating to see what they decide to do with him because
you won't have Tyus Jones, right?
It's going to be a little difficult. You might have Tyus.
Tyus, okay.
When they go to Orlando, I think that as of right now, they're not really expecting anyone to be to miss. At least not that I've heard of. Things can change at any moment here. This is almost like recruiting. Like you're recruiting these guys down to Orlando.
Come on, guys.
To play in this thing that nobody really has any idea, you know, what it's going to look like when they get down there. But in terms of training, I expect it to be something along the lines of a regular training camp, just a ramp up to what you're going to do when you get, you know, down there. And once they get down there, you know, they're going to be around other teams. They're all going to be tested. You know, there's going to be gyms. It's hard. I'm sure they'll have practice sessions, but, you know, for each individual team. But these guys are going to be around each other a lot.
Yeah.
So hopefully it doesn't take the Grizzlies very long to get reacclimated to the rest of the team and get Justice Winslow in there, figure out what his role is going to be exactly. I'm sure Taylor Jenkins has a plan.
Yep.
That he will not reveal until the first game, so that they
like
can
like the FBI over
well,
there. Yeah.
It's because that they want to. Obviously it's a strategy thing too, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't want to give away what's going to happen when they do restart these things.
That helps. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get when you play this team at this point,
right?
It'll be different.
That to me,
no preseason,
is the biggest actually on the court storyline right now because. Off the court, you know, between everybody wanting to go after the Pelicans for being the league's favorite right now, or, you know, people discounting the Grizzlies. It was, I'm in the middle of writing a piece about the Grizzlies, and it's more of an overarching general sort of piece, but I went back and I watched the play the schedule release show. They were already hedging to the Pelicans and the Trailblazers.
No question.
Did you see that?
Yes, I watched the whole thing.
Jay Williams came out and said something along the lines of, I can't see why people are counting Portland out. You know, Portland's really good.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, it was
Portland. A lot of Portland.
It was Paul Pierce who said, it was Paul Pierce who came in right after that and was like, well, I like the Pelicans. You know, they have the young legs. It's like, the Grizzlies don't have the young legs.
Hey, yo.
The Grizzlies got those young legs,
we're the eighth seed. I think it might have been Jalen Rose or somebody popped on via Zoom later on and tried to keep it as real as they could. I do think we still get slighted. And I know that that's the popular thing to say in Memphis, but when you watch these telecasts, somebody pointed this out on Twitter, they had like one Grizzlies highlight, and it was Ja Morant, you know?
It lasted like... Less than 2 minutes.
It was quick. Like, keep it real. The Grizzlies really have a shot at this. Yeah, they're 3.5 games up in the eighth.
Right.
You know, like, so
we have to acknowledge that they're there, but we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, we realize they're in Memphis and they have Ja. It's almost like it's Ja Morant, and then he happens to be on the Grizzlies, too. That's what I see emerging like. And if I'm Jaren and those guys, I do feel a little slighted because he has overshadowed them, in my opinion. It has become a one-man market. That's why you have the apology issued today by Ja Morant, I think, and I don't even know if he needed to apologize personally.
Right.
I was pretty surprised he released that, but it does seem sometimes that the team becomes secondary. And that's not the Grizzlies doing that. That's just sort of this media thing that's taken on its own life.
Yeah, we'll get into the apology with Jeff here in a minute, but it is interesting to see the way that they all sort of overlook Grizzlies.
The team
in general. There's definitely some. You can't blame Grizzlies fans for feeling slighted when you watch something like that because, I mean, they talked about them for 2 seconds. They just acknowledged that they were there and immediately moved on to the teams that have bigger established superstars right now. Although Zion is probably less established than Ja. He just is like it's so insanely popular.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is the way the Grizzlies have wanted it from the beginning. Ja Morant later that night tweeted out, "Beat the odds."
Right, right.
And I thought everybody liked that one. Like,
dude, all the odds are in your favor, buddy.
Well,
but no, I love the chip on your shoulder.
But yeah,
you're
that's just Ja. That's the way they operate.
I'm with you on that.
So, if I'm the Grizzlies, I like my spot.
Sure.
I would rather lurk in the background here and continue to surprise everyone else than be the team that everybody talks about right now.
No.
But we'll get into this with Jeff Calkins when we come back. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Lads, up your life with Lads.
Visit Lads and learn how Cub Cadets Ultima Series zero-turn mowers and Enduro Series lawn tractors offer superior efficiency, maximum comfort, and ultimate durability. From checking the air in the tires to the oil level in the engine, Lads will ensure your Cub Cadet equipment performs from the start and keeps running strong.
Lads, up your life with Lads. Lads, up your life.
Hey, this is John Martin, and July 4th is coming up. It's America's birthday. It's my birthday. Now is the time to get your fireworks for July 4th festivities. The place to go, Boom City Fireworks. They've got the largest selection and biggest discounts of fireworks in the entire Mid-South. There are two air-conditioned locations, 3rd Street South and Getwell at State Line Road. Both are open daily from 8 a.m. to 12 midnight. Monster reloadables are 25% off, and power candles are only $3.97. So get on out, head to Boom City Fireworks. That's Boom City Fireworks.
Hey, Jason Smith here, and listen, AutoZone is one of the big reasons I've been able to keep my 2006 Mazda on the road so long. With more than 5,700 locations, they've helped me with everything from battery changes to replacing my brake pads. And with their same-day pickup, you can order online and get what you need in store or curbside. Have a job that can wait? AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35 if you order by 10 p.m. So you can get what you need when you need it. Visit AutoZone.com today to get started. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Imagine a coffee cup. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business. One of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Hey, couch surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen, yes, you Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or cancel?
So meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Limitations apply.
Let me ask you this. If you call a computer store or any other computer store other than Cooper Systems, does the owner of the store pick up the phone? Is the owner of the store there in person to help you? Is the owner of the store there to stand behind everything they buy? I suspect the answer to that is no, no, and no, unless you do, in fact, do what I do and go to Cooper Systems. Lee and Lauren Cooper. The name is right there on the store. They are there in the store. They are there to help you and to stand behind everything they do. It is a very different kind of a computer store. The phone number is 360-9679, 360-9679. Just give them a call and ask for Lee and Lauren Cooper. They will help you with all of your computer needs. And then if something goes wrong, they will help you with that. Lee and Lauren Cooper, it's 360-9679. They are located in the Mount Moriah Office Park.
Injured? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
All right, welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff on 92.9 FM ESPN. And I now have Jeff on the line. It is his show. He's my columnist. He's the city's columnist. He's the Daily Memphian columnist. I feel like I still need to say that every single time. Jeff, how is Michigan, first of all?
Glorious. Absolutely glorious. Thanks for asking. Beautiful.
Is the weather's been good so far, and you didn't get pulled over again?
Perfect. Weather's perfect. Right now I'm lying on a hammock. First time I've ever done the show from a hammock. I'm lying on the show. Yeah, I'm doing the show from a hammock. The sun is, it's not blasted hot either. You know, it's just, yeah. No, Michigan, I've never been here except for the summer, though. Occasionally I fantasize about living up here all year round in the woods, but I've gotten soft. I don't like the cold weather anymore. So this is perfect.
I know you were driving up to Michigan during the NBA schedule release online. Right. So did you get a chance to see the broadcast, or have you just seen the schedule so far?
I have not seen the broadcast. Okay. How was the broadcast?
It was interesting. Brad and I were just talking about this. They talked about the Grizzlies for 7 milliseconds about, and then they immediately went into the Pelicans, and then they immediately went into the Portland Trail Blazers and their race for the eighth spot. So obviously, I think the reaction was split between Grizzlies fans. Some were saying, oh, it's totally brutal, and some were saying, well, it's really not that bad. Where do you fall?
Well, I mean, they're all brutal. Let's say both those topics. First of all, it's very clear. The Grizzlies are because they have Ja, they're more glamorous, or they have the potential to be more glamorous than they were in the olden days, and certainly than they were at the beginning of the season. But all you have to do is look at when the games are scheduled. Like, the games are all afternoon games, right? This is not viewed by the league as a primetime team. And the truth is, you can sort of understand that. Like, when you have the NBA coming back, I mean, you've got LeBron coming back, you've got Giannis coming back, you've got Kawhi coming back, you've got, you know, there are giant stories here, and Ja's a lot of fun, and the Grizzlies have a lot of promise to be one of those stories in the future. But I actually understand when you could be, I mean, if you're if you have a choice about talking about LeBron or Ja, and you know you're addressing people who live in Albuquerque, what are you going to be talking about, right? You know, on the, so to me, it doesn't bother me, and I also, I just love the afternoon, the idea of this afternoon basketball. I just love it. I don't, you know, to me, I said this Friday on the way up here, it's sort of going to be like a NCAA tournament when the Tigers are playing an afternoon game in on that first Thursday or Friday. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, these afternoon games. So Memphis can have a chip on his shoulder about, A, that no one talked about him during the broadcast, but B, where the games are scheduled, the timing of the games are scheduled. But I think it sets up to be a lot of fun. In terms of schedule itself, to me, honestly, the only part that was – that's a little it's an interesting schedule because it's so heavily weighted at the front end with teams that you will actually be competing against for the playoff spot. And then at the back end, are those going to be tough games or not? Right. When you play Boston, Milwaukee, and Toronto down the stretch, how much are those teams going to be playing their guys? Now, you would think if this were at the end of a regular season, they wouldn't be, right? They'd have it, if they had it clinched up, they'd be resting people. But when you only play eight seeding games, and so you're also trying to find your way back into rhythm and be playoff sharp, it's possible that they're going to still want to be playing those games. Like, we have no idea what those games are going to look like at the end. And then, you know, you look at New Orleans' schedule, which is dramatically easier, honestly. Like it, and probably should have been, because they were looking at the season that was canceled or that was, you know, that will not be played, the regular, they were also looking at an easier schedule. But they play a bunch of teams that are under 500. New Orleans does, and so I think it sets up much easier for them than it does for the Grizzlies. But I got no complaints with the Grizzlies' schedule, do you?
No, I don't have any. Brad asked me this question, and I thought it was interesting. He said, do you like their chances better now than you would have if they played out the regular season? And I honestly think I might like their chances better now.
I think the chances are better now. I think their chances vaguely improved. Most people said that their chances of the regular season were basically, the most optimistic you could say, was about 50%, right? Some people said that, I mean, the 43%, 53%, whatever, but that was basically, were they going to be able to hang on given how tough their schedule was, the lead they had, et cetera. I thought it was kind of basically a 50-50 proposition. Right now, I'll be very surprised if they don't get into the play-in game. I'll be surprised if they're not the higher seed in the play-in games. And that means that they have to win one of two games, just one of two games, over New Orleans or Portland or someone else. And if it were one game, you'd say that's a 50-50 proposition. But when you got two shots at it, I think they are better than a 50-50 shot now. I think it's probably 60%, something like that, chance of getting into the playoffs. So I think their chances were enhanced by the system, not degraded by the system. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I think so too. How's this for a nugget? You mentioned the afternoon games. I'm a big fan of the afternoon games. I'm sure you are too, partly because, one, you might be the only thing on TV, and everybody's going to love it, like you said, an NCAA tournament type of atmosphere. But also, you know, you still have your night. You know, you can cover the game or watch the game, and you still have your night. And so I guess it's not prime time, and some people might be at work. But
not that you're doing anything with your night. I mean, you know, or your day. Like,
right, that's true. That's true. Very good point, Jeff.
You have your night to sit home as opposed to your day to sit home. To me, actually, the good thing is that I won't be up writing till 2 in the morning.
Right.
That's kind of fun. And I don't think, like, sometimes if it's an NCAA tournament, like, how are people going to get out of work? Everyone's working from home anyways now. So, like, people can just turn on the Grizzlies. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, right. It's all, time is elastic. They could, the games could be at 4 in the afternoon instead of 8. It doesn't matter. What was your nugget?
Okay. The Grizzlies have played in two of the afternoon games this year, like the 3:30 tips. December 1st against the T-Wolves, 115-107 win. Ja didn't play. Dylan Brooks scored 26, and Jaren had 12. January 4th, against the Clippers, 140 to 114 blowout win. Ja had 22 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. Jaren Jackson had 24 points and 6 rebounds. So Grizzlies and afternoon games have never lost this season.
That's called, we would call that an afternoon delight then. From my 70s background, the Grizzlies are an afternoon powerhouse.
I think that was before your time, Drew.
That was before your time.
Way before your
time. Starland vote. The Star. Starland. Vocal
yes,
band?
Exactly. Yes, it was. Joe.
Starland vocal
I'll have
band.
To pull that one out for you. Yes.
So anyway, they're a powerhouse in the afternoon. They're a matinee team. So
a juggernaut.
There you go. There are some other topics that we need to get to though, besides the schedule, because I think there's a lot of stuff we could talk about this morning. The second bit of Grizzlies news. Was the Ja Morant apology statement last night. I don't even know if it's fair to call it that, because it was more of a statement in support of the Black Lives Matter movement and justice for Breonna Taylor.
He apologized, but also an apology.
It was an apology.
It was absolutely an apology. Let's be honest. The main point of it was to apologize.
Miss the point, though, if it was to apologize, because I personally didn't think he had much to apologize for. We should explain what it is. John Morant reposted on Instagram a picture of himself. He didn't make this image. He just reposted it. And instead of his last name, Morant, it had the F word. And
this is because players are going to be allowed to put things on their jerseys in Orlando, right?
That's expected to be the case. Yeah. And so, coupled with his number 12, it says F12, which is obviously an anti-police sort of, slogan or term. And so, he reposted that. Then he tweeted, "I really want that on my jersey." And then I guess later in the night, he felt the need to issue an apology. Do you think he needed to apologize?
I mean, needed? I think it's appropriate that he did apologize, yes. I think you can say, anyone who listens to this show knows that I believe that African Americans are subjected to a different system of justice and have been oppressed and brutalized over the course of this country's history, and that continues today, and that I believe that the Black Lives Matter movement and it's about time. But I think you can say all of those things without blanket saying F the police, right? And I think you can be fully supportive of change in the system. Honestly, you could even be, and I haven't thought about it enough, whether how I believe the whole quote-unquote defund the police movement. I would never use that slogan because I think it's counterproductive. But if the point was is that we need to spend more money on social services that are not purely policing and less on militarizing the police, whatever, you can believe all of the things that are important about what's happening in this country today without turning it into a blanket indictment of all police, which is what F12 is. And so has to apologize. I'm not going to say someone had to apologize, but do I think it's good that he did apologize and clarify that there are good police officers who he works with at when he's a member of the Memphis Grizzlies, that there are good police officers in the city who are important to the well-being of the city, that there are good police officers at Murray State, as he pointed out. Did he have to? I don't think he had to, but do I think it's appropriate that he did apologize? And do I commend him for apologizing? Yes. I also commend him, to be clear, and very much impressed by the way that he is willing to embrace the underlying issues. The fact that he's, put his reputation on the line in terms of having a statute removed in Murray, Kentucky, and that even as he apologized, he made it clear that he still believes and, supports the broader movement. I think both those things can be true. So, I'm happy he did apologize and clarify, but I also am proud of the fact that the defining player for the Memphis Grizzlies is willing to take social stands and put himself and his reputation on the line on behalf of those stands.
Yeah, I think the statement was really well done that he wrote and put out there on Twitter last night.
Well, go ahead and read it. Read, 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 read the apology slash clarification. Right. Go ahead, so just people know what we're talking about.
He said, quote, I want to first apologize for reposting something that didn't clearly and accurately convey what I wanted to share. My post was intended to focus on the bad cops who get away with the murder of unarmed black men and women and those who continue to harass peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters. I know there are good cops, in the, quote, 12, out there. I know some, and a few are family. I am thankful to the cops at Murray State who took care of me and the cops who continue to watch over me with the Grizzlies. We need good cops to step up and make sure other cops are not abusing their power. There have been too many black lives taken by the police that could have been prevented. You may see me as just a basketball player, and I may lose fans for taking a stand, but I won't stay silent. Black lives matter. Where's the justice for Breonna Taylor and the other countless black lives that have been taken at the hands of dirty cops with no convictions? So that was the statement in full.
Right.
And I think that one of the points that he's backing up what you just had to say when he says, you may see me as just a basketball player. I may lose fans for taking a stand, but I won't stay silent. I got to be honest. I think that the fans, at least the ones that Ja Morant, once in his corner, I don't think he's going to lose very many fans over that a statement like that. Do you?
No, I don't. But I think the way the first sentence was, he wanted to apologize for something that did not accurately represent his feelings. F12 does not accurately represent his feelings on these issues. And so he crafted a statement that spoke about it, that's more fully and, that it's like Colin Kaepernick wearing the pig socks, right? Like the socks that he wore. That's not what Colin Kaepernick was saying. And so those socks became a convenient distraction for the people who wanted to not listen to Colin Kaepernick. They could just point to his socks. And similarly, if on this one, if you just see Ja as someone who's saying F12, well, that's not what he's saying. He's making a positive statement on behalf of change and what needs to happen. And so I think it's good that he more fully, spoke out about what he wanted. And if you doubt the power of athletes and sports figures to have an impact on all this, first we can see now the impact that Colin Kaepernick and something that he started years ago has had. The fact that it took a little time, but that it is starting to help change America. And if you look at the state of Mississippi this past weekend, do I believe that this was solely because of because Mississippi State and Ole Miss football players spoke out because the coaches went to the state capitol? Because no, but do I believe that had an impact? Absolutely, it had an impact. I don't think that everyone who voted to change the flag was voting because, oh, we have to get rid of the flag because it's a symbol of hate. I think a lot of people who voted to get rid of the flag or to change the flag in the state of Mississippi were, oh my gosh, we are not, if we are perceived as an outlaw state where companies don't want to do business, where the NCAA doesn't want to do business, where football players don't want to play, et cetera, we can't prosper. And so even though I don't, this is what I imagine some people are thinking, even though they personally don't object to the flag or they don't acknowledge it as a symbol of hate, even though it very clearly is, just pragmatically they decided now's the time, we have to change it. And I think the athletes who spoke out had an impact on that decision, which was a very proud decision for most Mississippians.
Yeah, I agree with what you said there. And I think it was interesting what you had to say before when this discussion was happening before they actually voted, which is if these full teams had decided to say, we're not going to play if this is still going to be the state flag. And we all were asking, okay, but doesn't this thing take a long time? Like, doesn't this take some time to change? They can't just change it overnight. Well, they found a way to do it pretty quickly. I'm really impressed that it moved along so fast. And I, like you said, I don't think it's possible for that to happen if you don't have guys like Kylin Hill and coaches on both sides standing up for something like that. And it was time. It was time that the Mississippi State flag makes a change. And so now, I guess the next question is, what does the next flag look like? And
It's funny. As long as it's not particularly derivative of, you know, it very clearly it's not going to have the stars and bars on.
I don't
right?
want anything like that. Yeah, they've got
it's going
move
to
on.
Have. It's going to have "In God We Trust" on it. They said that it's going to have that, and so all they know, and they have, you know, they're putting a committee together, and then after they're done putting it together with a committee, they will have the people of Mississippi vote on it. Now, very, very, you know, it's important to note they're not going to be voting on this flag versus another flag. They're going to be versus the old flag. You know, it's the vote will not be, do we want this new flag or are we bringing the old flag back? The vote is going to be, do we like this new flag or do we want to send the committee back to the drawing board to come up with another new flag? It's like after you get rid of Colonel Reb, you don't get to pick between a black bear and Colonel Reb. You're picking between a land shark and a black bear, right? And so it's the same thing here. There will be a new flag. And I think that's exactly it. Change is interesting how it works. Whatever the topic is, it feels like these things take a long time to happen, and then they just tumble. I had someone who tweeted me last night that this felt like a Berlin Wall moment for the state of Mississippi, that finally, after 120 some years, after so many people have worked so hard to try to change the flag so that it can represent all Mississippians, that it finally just comes tumbling down. And you're right, as recently as last week, I remember I had Gary on and we were talking about whether Kylan Hill was ultimately going to have to transfer, because Kylan Hill had said, I'm not going to play in a state anymore that's represented by that flag. And it felt like he was kind of backing himself into a corner, that listen, change comes, you know, that he wasn't, for procedural reasons as much as anything else, it was going to be very hard to change the flag this quickly. And so was he going to, in order to be a man of his word, have to enter the transfer portal and go play somewhere else? But in the end, like, they needed a 75% vote or something in order to speed up to overcome the procedural obstacles.
Right.
And in the end, they got it. In the end, they got it. Like, enough people just said, okay, we're throwing in the towel here. Like, there were still people who voted against it. And I was thinking about those people as I was looking at it, reading stories about it last night. Can you imagine being one of the people when the tide of history is clearly changing, to be one of the people who still voted for that hateful flag? It's just going to be that's one of the things that is part of your legacy, that you stood in the way of change, that everyone understood it was time, even people who had objected for forever, that a lot of those people, that there's still people voting to keep the flag. But anyway, it has changed. And no, there are those people who will say, well, that's great. Now it's a good thing. It's a good thing that racism's gone. That'll fix everything. And of course it's not fixing everything. It's not meant to fix everything. Everything you do doesn't fix everything. But is it a positive step? Of course it's a positive step. And now you need more steps. But, you know, that flag has been tough for Mississippi State. That flag has been tough for Ole Miss. That flag has been tough for the football programs over there. And so it's good for them, among other things, that the flag is now going to be changed.
I don't want to ruin your vacation, but I do want to talk about the New England Patriots a little bit. They signed Cam Newton yesterday. And now what do you think about your Bills?
Well, as you know, I'm always skeptical of my beloved Bill. Even when it was going to be Jarrett Stidham, I was still, I believe it when I see it, when it comes to good things happening in my life. So I'm particularly in the sporting realm. But it was a fascinating moment that they signed Cam Newton. And first of all, what do you make of all these stories? Like, all you saw was story after story after story coming out of New England saying, yeah, they really like Jarrett Stidham. They really like Jarrett Stidham. No. What you have to understand here is that they really like Jarrett Stidham. Do we think all those stories were just BS now?
I don't know. No, I just think that that's the way that the Patriots operate.
But if they really liked Jarrett Stidham, they wouldn't get – this is my point with Cam Newton. You don't bring Cam Newton in to if you don't bring Cam Newton in, if he overshadows a young quarterback. I would not have wanted him to – Buffalo would not have brought him in because they're like, okay, well, we have our Josh Allen, and he's not so secure – that bringing in Cam, if he had a bad game, wouldn't cause people to say, let's start Cam instead, right? So if you believe in your young quarterback and you want to treat your young quarterback well, you don't bring in Cam Newton. I think that's true. You only bring in Cam Newton if you really don't believe in your young quarterback, it seems to me. And I think that's what they did. I do think it signals that they do not really believe in Jarrett Stidham as their guy. And so then you're saying, all right, what is Cam Newton and how will he fit? And is he the former MVP Cam Newton or is he the Cam Newton of the last 2 years? And whichever way you come down on that, I think is what's the last 2 years strictly health issues. And given that we've all been home resting on our hammocks, is he now going to come back as healthy Cam Newton? Because healthy Cam Newton is, I still think, a dynamic football player. I just don't know if we will ever see that person again. Where do you come down on the health, on what we will ever see again of Cam Newton?
Well, I think that when you look at the way that the last two seasons went when he was hurt, obviously they didn't go well. It's also not that easy of a thing to do just to declare him healthy now and say, oh, well, he'll be the Cam Newton of old. I think that's more difficult than people think. And this is going to be an entirely different system and look than what you had with Tom Brady. I mean, it just is. It's going to be totally different.
What's hilarious about it, he is such a, like, literally, what is Tom Brady? He is not mobile. He is a high percentage passer. He is efficient, surgical, etc. What is Cam Newton? At his best, he wasn't efficient and surgical. He was a big play machine who was taking deep shots, not particularly accurate, taking deep shots, and then physically like nothing we'd ever seen at quarterback. And so I don't know that there are two quarterbacks on earth who are more opposite than Tom Brady and Cam Newton. That's putting aside of the whole cultural fit with Cam Newton in the New England Patriots. Now, happily, Cam Newton doesn't like the media, and the New England Patriots don't like the media. So they can come together in their mutual disdain for reporters. So maybe that will help unite them. But you would not think it would be a cultural fit, Cam Newton and Bill Belichick. I think it does show, though, that Bill Belichick is just about, you know, it's just about winning. And if you can help him win, he's going to do what it is. Like, he's taken – not at the quarterback position because he's had Brady there, right? So you can get Corey Dillon and you can get Randy Moss and you can get players who don't necessarily wouldn't seem to fit the Patriot way because you had Brady and Belichick. But when the player who does not fit the Patriot way is the quarterback, does that change anything? It will be fascinating to me.
I don't know, Jeff. I think he will by the time they get through the training camp. Cam will be on board with the way that the Patriots do everything. It almost always works that way.
He'll have to be on board. I believe that in the end. He'll have to be on board. Here's the next question. What is now, when we have an NFL season start up again, what's the most interesting team in the league?
Ooh. I don't know.
I mean, it's got to be Tampa. It's got to be the most interesting team in the league.
Yeah, probably Tampa. Probably Tampa, but I just
is this now the second most interesting team in the league? I mean, Kansas City's interesting because they're incandescent and
no, you know. Kansas City's fun the same way the Ravens are fun because they have Lamar Jackson. Interesting,
but not
different.
Interesting because we know what they are, so they're not interesting anymore.
Right. That's what
I mean, these are now the two most interesting teams in the league. I mean, Cleveland's still interesting. I think, you know, new management. What is Baker Mayfield? Is Baker Mayfield, you know, was last year an aberration? I think Cleveland, for whatever reason, is
interesting. Green Bay is a little interesting now that they've got the, you know, Aaron Rodgers stuff that happened with the draft. I mean, I'm interested to see how good they will. I'm interested to see if Aaron Rodgers continues to. I don't want to say he's taking a step back because I know he'll probably kill the Bears.
San Francisco, interesting. I think San Francisco's interesting.
Yeah.
But to me, the most interesting teams in the league are very clearly the two teams, the team Tom Brady went to and the team Tom Brady left. And I would not have said that about the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots have not been interesting for a long time because we were all bored by it, right? And they certainly weren't going to be interesting with Jarrett Stidham, like just like the Jarrett Stidham era. But now Cam and, I mean, I hate to say it, I think they've become a I don't like it that they're interesting, but I think they become an extraordinarily interesting team, you know, just after. And who wins more games, Patriots, Bucks?
The Patriots. The Bucks have a tougher division.
Yes, there's no question. The Bucks have a tougher division. Patriots still in the end.
They still get to Jets play the Dolphins and the Jets.
The Jets, you have a disaster there where now there's reports coming out that you know, nobody respects Adam Gase, which is not a huge shocker. The Dolphins just aren't ready to win yet, right? I mean, they got a rookie quarterback, et cetera, go with Tua. The Dolphins aren't ready to win yet, and I'm still not a complete believer in the Bills, whereas the Bucks have a much tougher division. I think, and if, is how much of a how much of a blow to Brady, if Belichick wins 11, 12 games and wins the division and Brady misses the playoffs, will that change how people are perceived, how Belichick and Brady are perceived?
I don't think so, because the Patriots making the playoffs again is partly, it will be because of their division is still terrible. Whereas like Brady is literally going to go up against Drew Brees in his own division. Like it, everyone expects the Saints will win the division this year. They don't think Tampa's going to win the division. So it's all relative compared to the expectations, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. But I still think, what has been the reaction back to the Grizzlies? What has been the reaction overall this weekend in Memphis to what the NBA did to the Grizzlies? I don't mean it like that.
No,
but the path that lay out is now out in front of the Grizzlies.
I think people are just excited to have, you know, Grizzlies basketball back, and I think that the afternoon games is in a way exciting, but people just they still want to
here it is. Starland Vocal Man.
Yes,
little afternoon delight there
it is. People are excited. They're excited about the
afternoon
games.
Are you familiar with this American classic?
This is a special
no
one.
Jeff, does it sound like I'm familiar with this?
You've never heard this in your life? Never heard it?
I've heard it
probably
before,
from Ron Burgundy in the movie Ron Burgundy was featured.
He's looking forward to the afternoon delight, too. It's working with your appetite.
How's the afternoon delight up in Michigan, Jeff?
Fantastic. Beautiful. Absolutely wonderful. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
I'm uncomfortable. You got to get off the radio.
Sorry.
We're going to play that song before every morning, when I'm back. I want to warn people.
Oh, this is good. Yeah, here we go.
I do want to warn people. When I'm back and the Grizzlies play in the afternoon.
Oh, God.
This is perfect.
Afternoon game.
I
in fact,
it.
I might. You know what I'm going to do? While I'm up here, I'm going to work on. I mean, the Precious Achiuwa song. We've had to retire it.
Please give us a rendition of this.
I am going to write new lyrics.
Oh, new lyrics for this
one. Delight. Yeah. And we'll play it every day on the Jeff Dawkins Show before the Grizzlies begin their playoff push. So I look forward to that. All right.
You can only imagine what that yacht rock's going to sound like.
Jeff, have fun in Michigan. We'll have Chris Harrington up next. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Beautiful.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Sometimes I don't think people realize how unusual it is that I actually have the cell phone number of my banker in my phone. Do you? out there? Do you right now? Do you have the cell phone of your banker in your phone? If you don't, you should be going to Triumph Bank. Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank. I did not believe it, I'll be honest, when I first learned about Triumph Bank. Banks are banks are banks. No. Banks are not banks are not banks. Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank. It was started here in Memphis in 2006 by a group that understood that Memphis needed local banks. It has grown into a regional powerhouse with all the might and technology you need, but they still have that personal touch. Triumph Bank is my bank. Triumph Bank should be your bank. Triumph Bank is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Are you a metalhead, reggae lover, EDM addict? Whatever your musical tastes, the Radio.com app now makes it even easier for you to find more of the music you love. Use the new Explore feature to discover new stations that match your interests. We're talking hundreds of pop, classic rock, hip-hop, jazz, alternative stations, and more. Radio.com has something for everyone. News junkies and sports fanatics, find your local stations and podcasts covering your local community and your favorite teams. Download the Radio.com app on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, guy trying to shingle his own roof.
Yeah.
Don't you have a degree in business?
Why, yes, I do.
Why are you trying to remodel your own roof?
I figured I could save some money.
Do you really know what you're doing?
I watch some videos.
Are you warranting your own work?
Can I do that?
Looks like you need to replace some wood as well.
It's okay.
Exactly. Call Bennett Roofing. With over 20 years' experience, they make sure your roofing work is done right. Call 901-359-9708 or BennettRoofingMemphis.com.
She serves too. Women make up about 16% of the American Armed Forces, and they've got a story to tell. From what it's like to wear the nation's military uniform and break glass ceilings while in the military.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.